You're listening to a Clare FM podcast. Morning Focus broadcasts weekdays from 9am to 12 midday.
Right now, though, some advice in dealing with an issue that I suppose many of us, to one extent or another, have encountered in our lives. We're going to talk now with Pauline Bradley, who is a counsellor and psychotherapist based here in Carfin, particularly on the issue of anxiety. Pauline, good morning to you.
Good morning,
and thanks very much for joining us on the programme this morning. We'll get on to maybe kind of some of the ways in which we can hopefully help our listeners in a couple of minutes' time, but is anxiety, or how prevalent of a problem do you think anxiety is, first of all?
I'm seeing lots more people presenting with anxiety in my practice. Maybe people have a word for it, something to self-diagnose, I'm not sure, but sure. I'm seeing it a lot more in the adult and adolescent population.
What do you put that down to? Is it a busier life, or is it, as you said, maybe people being a little bit more in tune, perhaps, with their
mental
health?
It could be both. It could be both. There's a lot more written around anxiety and managing anxiety, and people are coming forward for help. And our lifestyles have changed. I think people are becoming more and more alienated with social media and technology, that you know, they're losing the ability to communicate. So I think that might have a factor, particularly for the adolescent population.
Okay. And when you say that you've got all these people coming to you, are you worried that this is a problem, or is it a good thing that people, well, it should be a good thing that people are reaching out for help, but what's your assessment of it from that point of view, if that makes sense?
I'm not worried. I think I'm encouraged, because it's great when people come forward to access help for themselves. And I do think there's a lot more, it's a lot more written about, talked about, and I think that's part of the reason why people are getting help.
So what is anxiety? Medical definition.
Okay, so we're experiencing anxiety when our natural ability to cope with life's challenges is unbalanced or off kilter. And, you know, it's very closely linked with stress, and we all experience stress. None of us are immune to what life has got to throw at us. A lot of people are stressed out, Gavin, coming up to Christmas, you know, getting everything right for the big day. Stress can being the, you know, other challenges like, you know, exam-related stress, maybe a job interview, maybe talking live on the radio.
And, I'm not that bad, don't worry.
And these place extra demands on us, both physically and psychologically, and that's okay, because once these things are passed, we'd expect our bodies to go back to its normal equilibrium. But in cases of anxiety, that's more prolonged. So people are living day in, day out with the high levels of stress. So there's activity in the body, both physiologically and psychologically, that is distressing and unpleasant to deal with.
And that's the difference, I guess, between anxiety and nervousness. There's nothing wrong with being on edge.
Yes.
On edge may be a strong term, but nothing wrong with being, I guess, nervous about something. But it's when when it's prolonged, that's when it becomes an issue. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, you know, we're told that some stress is good for us, because it motivates us. It you know, we're able to meet deadlines and meet challenges and, you know, meet our life's goals. But if we are experiencing that stress in the body day in, day out, it can debilitate us, and we can suffer lots of consequences in terms of, you know, in the body and how we, and cognitively, how we process information, how we think.
So if there's somebody listening to this and they may be of a nervous disposition, but they don't necessarily regard themselves as being anxious or having anxiety, in general terms, what's the tipping point between that's fine, that's natural, and perhaps that's something that you should get some support with?
Okay. Well, I mean, there is a yardstick for this. The Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Psychology will talk about if we have a stress and anxiety response every day for approximately 5 months, then we're into anxiety disorder, and we may need help.
It's a pretty long time.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought it would have been that long.
Yeah, but if you can imagine some stresses, for example, a breakup of a relationship or job-related stress, or maybe prolonged periods of unemployment, they can happen over long periods of time. So people are living day in, day out with that stress in the body, restlessness, palpitations, sweats, you know, their stomach in turmoil, dizziness, all of those things that they can connect with in the body. Also, their cognitive ability, their ability to make decisions or concentrate, the scattered thinking, they all contribute to an anxiety response. So very, very unpleasant if you have that on a daily basis.
Of course,
you can't
yeah.
cope with the everyday things that life have to throw at
okay.
you.
I'm talking about anxiety as if it is one thing. Are there different types of anxiety?
There is. I mean, I'm talking about generalized anxiety today, but there are other closely related anxiety disorders, and some people will recognize, you know, panic disorder. That's where, you know, the anxiety goes into the extreme, into panic attacks. Phobias, people will be familiar with phobias, that they're fears, intense fears that are directed at a particular stressor, for example, claustrophobia or agoraphobia, fear of spiders,
fear of flying, dogs, that sort of stuff.
Fear
yeah.
flying, yeah. Post-traumatic disorder. Social anxiety is one that I see an awful lot, particularly among the younger population, and I do think there is a link between that and social media use.
Because they can communicate with the device that's in their hand,
absolutely.
But maybe not face-to-face.
Yeah, and they're seeing the world through a lens. They're seeing a version of the world that has no basis in reality. Mm. And they're seeing an idealized image of
course.
Maybe how they should be.
And I would say that's older than just adolescence, though. I mean, even from my generation, the smartphone, okay, what's the smartphone now? 10 years old or thereabouts, so maybe people have it for 7 or 8 since it's come into their lives. But that's a long time for, if you were an adopter of it, if you're a user of this technology, it's a long time for it to change your life in effect, you know?
Yeah.
So I imagine it's more than just teenagers
There's
and adolescents.
More than just teenagers. I think, I've got 2 teenagers, so I can see how prevalent it is in their life. But they would accuse me of having SMAD, which is social media addiction disorder. And I rarely go on the phone, but I'm accused of every time I'm on it, I'm thinking she's on it again. So look, I'm guilty. I hold my hand
up. There are conversations in every house in the country, I would imagine.
Yeah.
But there are different types of anxiety, obviously.
There are, and I think, you know, they're beyond the scope of what we can discuss today. I'm just going to keep it with general.
Of course,
general
absolutely,
anxiety.
Yeah. But basically, if people can identify with those, then that's closely related to what we are talking about.
Yes, they all have their roots in anxiety and stress. Mm. Absolutely.
Are there symptoms of anxiety, or what are they? Of course, there are.
Yeah, well, I've talked about, you know, a lot of people will recognise the heart palpitations, sweats, irregular breathing. In the case of panic attack, it will be hyperventilation, uncontrolled breathing. Your stomach, the gut is always one of the first areas to be impacted by prolonged stress and anxiety. So, you know, you may have indigestion or longer term problems like colitis or IBS or stomach problems, ulcers even can be. Caused over a period of time.
No, it's okay. I was just going to say, but you can still be anxious without that, I would have thought, or you can still have anxiety without the physical manifestation of it, or did,
well, because anxiety, when we're in anxiety or we're stressed, it produces the hormones adrenaline, noradrenaline, and cortisol. Cortisol is the stress hormone. If we have that coursing through the body on a daily basis and at high levels, yes, it can turn itself inward in the body and cause longer term issues around, you know, our weight or our physical health and our well-being.
Okay. And I've got a listener asking, to what extent are stress and anxiety linked? This person says that they have often regarded themselves as stressed during their lifetimes, but yet at the same time, when listening to you talk about the symptoms of anxiety, feel that you're describing a lot of what I've lived through.
Yes. Well, it's very hard to separate them out. I suppose it's useful to think about a stressor. We, you know, our bodies and our minds, we need the extra energy. It's our natural fight or flight response. It's our survival response to meet the demands of a stressful situation. So our body will go into, hyperactivity to meet that demand, hyperarousal, if you like.
Sure.
And then after that event is finished, it will calm itself down. With anxiety, ongoing anxiety, that's happening all the time. And fortunately, there's lots of people can do to counteract that, which is, you know, something that we're going to talk about
today. Yeah, let's get into it now. I mean, if people have identified themselves in what we have been talking about, what should they do? What is the advice? What is the treatment?
Well, there's lots of things that people can do even before they seek help from a counsellor or their GP. One of the things that people can do is a very effective means is obviously the talking to someone, and that can, by connecting with people, we can talk through our worries, our concerns, our anxieties, and if we have a good listening ear, that goes a long way to reducing anxiety. Exercise is amazing for stress and anxiety because we have all this pent up energy in the body that's been stored for fight or flight, and it's not going anywhere. So if you're someone who doesn't exercise, light to moderate exercise will make a huge impact. If you're someone who exercises all the time, then you might need to learn to relax because you're already producing a lot of the cortisol through exercise. Sure. So it's getting a balance, Gavin. It's all about balance.
Can it be difficult? Yeah. Sorry to cut across you, and there are more, and I will get to them. Can it be difficult to do that exercise though? I mean, to be anxious, to be nervous, sounds like it can be very tiring. Do you know?
Absolutely, yeah. And anxiety can go hand in hand with depression and low mood. Not in every case, but most of the cases I see will have the times where people are they experience hyperarousal, and then hypoarousal, where their mood is down, their motivation is low, their motivation to get out of bed to do anything. It just fails them, and then, you know, we're into.
And would a lot of your patients put that simply down to tiredness and maybe not realise that it is a further extension of their anxiousness or their anxiety?
It could well be, but I know that the two are two sides of the same coin very often, and it's about educating yourself about that and learning how to manage it.
Okay, so talking with somebody, exercising, their advice. What else are you suggesting?
Healthy eating. When we're stressed, we want the quick fix. This the kind of foods, sugar based foods, refined foods that give us that quick spike, that energy to get going and meet the demands placed on us. But the problem is then they cause the spikes in our sugar, but then also lows, and they can cause even more anxiety and feelings of irritability, restlessness. So we need to eat a healthy, balanced diet, one that is one where the food has what we call a low glycemic index. That's where slow energy release over the hours, so we can stabilise our blood sugars, and we're less likely to feel anxious. Caffeine is another one. Caffeine, it's a stimulant.
Yeah.
And if we are someone who suffers from anxiety, stress or anxiety, or going through a stressful time in our lives, you might need to think about controlling the caffeine. I mean, I met a friend for lunch and I had with two cups of coffee, and I came out and I had palpitations. So you might need to avoid that. Alcohol and drugs. I mean, people will self-medicate. They'll see it as a way of calming themselves down. But with alcohol, which is a depressant, you're getting into a habit of controlling your anxiety that way, then you're into dangerous territory of maybe alcohol or drug abuse, and you're replacing one set of symptoms with a worse
situation. Of course, yeah, absolutely, indeed. And just on the, maybe not so much the alcohol, but on the caffeine, I mean, fizzy drinks, we'll go into that as well. Energy drinks would all have the same sort of impact. Yeah. Could they be having a negative effect on you, even if you're not necessarily experiencing that symptom, or even if you're not aware of it? You talked about being buzzing and getting that lift from caffeine, and no doubt being, you know, not having it a short time later. If I don't experience that, is the caffeine maybe having a more subtle impact, but yet at the same time still potentially impacting and making my anxiety or my stress worse? If I don't realise that it's causing a problem, can it still be causing a problem? Is my question.
Yeah, I think it could, because I mean we are responding physiologically. There's a chemical imbalance in the body, but and we're talking about blood sugars here, so, and that's a bit outside my area. But we're told to avoid, high sugar foods, refined foods, caffeine, alcohol. They're all bad for stress and anxiety. They make it worse.
Eat and drink the good stuff, basically. What else have you got in terms of advice?
Well, the talk and therapies, obviously, I'm a therapist. My approach to anxiety would be a cognitive-based mindfulness approach, where I, first of all, I teach people what's happening to them when they are stressed and anxious, what's happening in the body, and also the cognitive side of that is how their thinking or their thinking patterns can induce stress. So there may not even be an external stressor. It might be they think themselves into a frenzy.
Yeah.
You know, the 0-90 thinking. Some people will, you know, something might happen, and then what they can do is they can catastrophize, they can make it worse and worse. It's like the rolling stone down the hill,
yeah.
building. And that's to do with negative thinking patterns. Very often these can be with us most of our lives if we've been, you know, we've had a difficult childhood or we've been bullied or we have low self-esteem. We may think negatively about ourselves, and we can create a sense of stress and anxiety internally in our internal world. So we don't need any of the external life challenges.
Triggers or whatever.
Yeah, we can do it ourselves. And so cognitive-based psychology will look at counteracting or reframing that negative thinking pattern.
And I know you're not going to fix it for any of us over in one interview over
yes.
the radio, but that sounds like a habit. Do you know that negative thinking,
yes,
those cycles?
Yes.
How do you break that
yes.
habit? How do you break that cycle?
Well, I'd work with the client, obviously not in one session, over a few sessions to reframe that type of thinking, challenge that type of thinking. The mindfulness bit is to catch yourself when you're having that thinking. You could be driving along or walking along in nature and you could be having a fight or an argument in your head, or you could be worrying needlessly.
Mm.
And that is just all happening in your head. It's not happening in reality. But your body doesn't know that. So your body's into stress and anxiety. Adrenaline is pumping, cortisol is pumping, and you're in fight or flight mode when there's no apparent danger.
Okay. I get you. So
okay.
you're trying to go back to
yeah.
the root of that and to try and to mitigate
it's
and to stop
it. Think. It's how you think that creates the feeling, which creates the physiological response.
Mm. But and obviously that takes time, and people have
yes.
to learn coping skills and all that sort of stuff, and there's a process there, but it is one that you're working with on a number of clients, and that would be the case for counsellors and psychotherapists across the country, I would
yes.
presume. Okay. So are there any other advice then in terms of this morning? Or?
There's great resources out there. There's a great website, mentalhealth.ie. I have my own website, paulinebradley.ie. There's a piece in there about anxiety, and also the IACP. I'm part of the Irish Association of Counselling and Psychotherapy. We have a website, so if people feel they need the help to deal with prolonged anxiety and stress, most people can counteract it themselves, but if you need help, there's a number of accredited therapists in there, and if you log on to that, you can find one in your area.
Sure. So just kind of finally then, and kind of in a general sense,
yeah.
and the advice is very good, and I really do appreciate it, Pauline. And for anybody who's missed it, we'll put it up on the website later on so people can hear it and listen back and perhaps see if there's something in it that speaks to themselves. But in general terms, if you think this, my assessment or my synopsis of what you said is that in general terms, if people can if they're feeling nervous, if they're feeling anxious, if they feel like they're in need of help and support, then that is probably the case. Try some of the bits that you've mentioned, but be open to therapy as well, or be open to having a conversation with somebody.
Absolutely. It's all about connection, whether you get it from a good friend or a therapist or even your GP.
Okay. Pauline Bradley is a counsellor and psychotherapist based in Carrickfinn, as you heard. Her website is paulinebradley.ie. And Pauline, we really appreciate your time this morning. I hope we've been of help to some people out there. And thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Gavin.
Clare FM's Morning Focus with Gavin Grace.